Good morning, brothers and sisters. Turn with me, Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Just I want to remind you, the theme of this epistle is Christ is supreme. Therefore, he is sufficient for all things. Christ is supreme. He is the Lord. So he is able to save us. He is able to sanctify us. He is sufficient. We need no other men, and we need no any other angels, anybody else. We can have sufficiency in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is writing in this epistle. Especially when he is talking about Christ, who is the shepherd. But today, we are going to focus on a shepherd who can shepherd the church. That is found in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Just we can read. Colossians chapter 4, verse 13 and 12 and 13. Epaphras, who is one of you number, a born slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings. Always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. If you think about this passage, we can see very clearly Epaphras is being a model pastor. Especially, verse 12, who is one of your number, a born slave of Jesus Christ. Then you can see his work, his ministry, that is found in verse 12. Always laboring earnestly. Then verse 13 says, he has deep concern for you and for those connected churches to Colossians. Who is a pastor? What is the function of a pastor? What does a pastor look like? This message is directly written to me and directly written to all elders in the churches. I supposed to read and apply in my life. Especially trainees, pastors who are going to be graduated next in this week. I hope I am going to preach graduation sermon. But main graduation sermon, Pastor Chris is going to preach. This is before. I know you heard one graduation sermon in chapel, the one more graduation sermon that you need to listen with our church people. It is a great privilege to preach about a model pastor that God has given to me to preach. Paul is testifying a model pastor. He is Epaphras. He is a model pastor. Do you have any doubt how pastor looks like? Here, answer is there. Pastors are gift from the Holy Spirit to the church. We should not forget that. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as an evangelist, and some as pastors and teachers. Pastors are gifts to the church. It is a privilege. We need to thank God that God has given us gifts in the church. George Whitefield, man of God, said like this, as God can send a nation or people no greater blessing than to give them faithful, sincere, and upright ministers. So the greatest curse that God can possibly send upon people in this world is to give them over to the blind, unregenerated, carnal, lukewarm, unskilled leaders. Can you see that? It is a curse if you have unskilled, unregenerated pastors in the church. It is a blessing if you have sincere, faithful pastors in the church. But God is doing that. God gave blessings to our churches. Here we have three essential marks of a model pastor. If you want to know who is a model pastor, Paul wants to give us three essential marks of a model pastor. The first essential mark of a model pastor is he must be a member of the local church. He must be a member of local church. Look at verse 12, what he says. Who is one of your number? This is sometimes pastors neglect, right? If you ask any pastor, sometimes, unfortunately, sad thing, they say like this. I am pastoring 50 churches. I am pastoring 100 churches. I am pastoring 10, 15 churches. This is not biblical. You are not apostle. Apostles are different. Prophets are different. But now we are pastors of the church. We should not have more than one church. We should focus on the local church that we can see very clearly in the text. Epaphras, who is one of your number. He must be committed to the local church. He must be a member of local church. We know that he was the founder of the church. Colossians chapter 1 verse 7 says, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bond servant. Can we see that? This man planted the church. He did not run away from that church. He stayed there. He was committed to that local church. That's what scripture is saying. That's why we should not have more than one church. If any pastor that you are following, he has more than one church, don't follow him. He is not a faithful, he is not biblical pastor. Even though he is very expert in his preaching, even though he is very expert how he communicates everything, but you should not follow those pastors. They are not faithful. They are not model. Model pastors are these, like Epaphras. He is committed to the local church. There is a problem, brothers and sisters, especially you brothers. There is a problem if you are not being connected to the local church. No accountability, no purity, no focus, no discipleship. That's why pastors, teachers are falling in sin. Why? They don't have time to spend with their families. Just they're wandering here and there, going here and there. But they are not focusing the local church. That's why so many great men of God fell in sin because of this problem. A pastor, a model pastor, should be connected to the local church. Epaphras is like that. Okay, let me ask you, what about me as a common believer? Even you can learn lesson from this passage. Which church do you go to? First Sunday, I go to one church. Last Sunday, I will go to another church. What about second Sunday, third Sunday? I will pray at home. Can you hear those kind of answers from believers? So they don't have any local church. Just they go one church, another Sunday, another church. Sometimes they don't go to any other church. Just open the TV and listen to the sermons. It is not biblical, even for believers. I know one Telugu man who comes to play badminton there near to our home. I asked him, what is your name? He said, Shalom. So I thought he is a believer. So which church do you go to? He said, no, I don't go any church. Just on Sunday, we open the TV and we see, watch somebody is preaching. Then I told brothers, this is not right. Please come to our church. Even I am also a Telugu man. Please come to our church. But service will be in English medium. But anyway, you are doing central government job. You can come. You can understand English. But what? He is not responding to me. Because people, believers, are just like that. Why? Because they are not seeing model pastors. These people, these believers, have seen some pastors who are not focusing on local church, just wandering here and there. What happened, result of that, even believers are thinking in that way. That's why Paul is speaking to us, the Lord is speaking to us today, that a model pastor should focus a local church. he must be committed to the local church. That is the first essential mark of a model pastor. The second essential mark of a model pastor is he must be a slave of Christ. He must be slave of Christ. He must not be slave of man. He must not be slave of church members. He must not be slave of any other, but he must be slave of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12, what Paul is saying. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a born slave of Jesus Christ. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, we need to understand what is the meaning of being slave of Christ. The born slave is a slave, literally, a born man, a man of submissive condition. He does not have any freedom. He does not exercise any authority by himself. He should submit. He should keep himself under somebody else, especially master. One who gives himself to another's will and dominion or rule, you can say. Christ uses this man to advance his kingdom. A born servant is an agent of God who executes God's purposes. He is not executing his purposes, his will, but he is executing God's purposes. That is called a slave of Christ. That's why Paul said many times, you know, brothers, many times Paul said, I am a bond slave of Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. He did not mention Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ first here. But he mentions Paul, a bond servant of Christ. I am a slave of Christ. I am a slave of Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says, a servant of Christ should not please any man. He should not compromise any truth because of people. He should not compromise. He should preach gospel rightly because of God. That's what he said. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men? If I'm still trying to please man, I would not be a born servant of Christ. If somebody, any pastor who is pleasing man, he is not a born servant of Christ. That's what Paul is saying. But here, good testimony. There is a model pastor here in Colossian church. That is Epaphras. He is born slave of Christ. He is not pleasing man. He is pleasing God. He gives himself up to Jesus Christ's will, rule, authority. He is the one who pleases Christ alone, nobody else. But we need to understand, brothers and sisters, God used his services to build his kingdom, to build his church. But there is a qualification as well. If you think about, if you understand meaning of born slave, that is, you don't have any freedom, just you are obeying Jesus Christ as your Lord, then you need to understand a qualification of born slave. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 says, the Lord's born servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong. Can you see that there is a qualification that we should have ethical qualification, be part of slave of Jesus Christ? But we know that men who are called born slaves, especially in the Bible, as I am doing word study about born slave, I came to know that there are many men in the Bible who are born slaves of Jesus Christ, especially Moses. You think Moses? He is a born slave of Jesus. Prophets, even apostles, preachers and teachers of the gospel, they are born slave of Jesus Christ. Among them is Epaphras. A pastor, listen carefully, a pastor is a prophet. A pastor is an apostle. A pastor is an evangelist in the sense of submitting to Jesus Christ. He may have different office. prophets may have different office, apostles may have different office, different role, responsibilities, pastors are different, but all are same in one sense, that is submitting to Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to Lord Jesus Christ. Lord may say something to prophets. Lord may say something to apostles. The Lord may say something to pastors and teachers, leaders in the church. But we should obey to the Lord. You remember God commanded Moses to stand in the front of King Pharaoh. But he went and stood. Because he is slave of Christ, slave of God. God told Isaiah to preach judgments. He went and preached judgments. Because he is slave of God, slave of Christ. God commanded Jeremiah to preach about the captivity of Jews. Who will preach? See, you are very happy, enjoying. Somebody will come and takes you into the captivity. Who will like that, those kind of messages? No one will like, right? But Jeremiah, he went and preached those kind of messages because he is a slave of Jesus, slave of God. He may say that, no, I don't go. People will beat me. People will persecute me if I preach those kind of messages. No, even though it is hard to me, I should preach. Because Jeremiah, slave of Jesus Christ. Do you remember Elijah who rebuked King Ahab and his Jezebel, right? His wife Jezebel. God made Paul an apostle to the Gentiles, preaching the gospel to dangerous people. Dangerous people. Paul did not say that, Lord, I don't go. Paul did not say, Lord, I don't go. He went. Because Paul, a born slave of Jesus Christ. Among them is Epaphras. That's what Paul is saying. They did not please man. They pleased God, God himself. They did not represent their authority, but they exalted Jesus' authority in church, in their ministries. I am not saying that Paul himself is saying Epaphras is a born slave of Jesus Christ. What a great testimony, right? Fellow worker is saying he is a born slave of Jesus Christ. I can see that. I can see that. You know, there are lots of sacrifices that he has to make to get those kind of appreciation from Paul. He traveled probably 1,800 to 2,000 kilometers to visit Paul, to take advice from Paul to shepherd his own church, local church. He went there. That's the reason why Paul wrote this letter. Even Philemon chapter 1 verse 23 says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Can you see? He was imprisoned because of the gospel. Because of the gospel. He is a born slave of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, brothers and sisters, Colossians chapter 1 verse 7, he says, our beloved fellow born servant, who is faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. A model pastor is a slave of Christ. He does not have any authority. He does not have any will. He has to obey Jesus Christ. Even that shows, right? Jesus Christ is supreme. If somebody is saying, I am slave of Christ, that he is saying that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. He is God. We should submit to him. There is a good model how Paul is shepherding the church. You people are running away from Jesus Christ, right? But he is the Lord. Your pastor is slave of Jesus Christ. That shows that he is Lord. All Christians should recognize Jesus as the Lord of the church. This is not only job of a pastor to surrender the will and rule of Jesus. This is also a duty, a responsibility of all disciples of Christ. You may not preach. You may not teach. But you preach, teach others through your obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see that? Don't say that because I am being saved by grace, I won't obey Jesus Christ. Do you remember the Lordship salvation? The debate about Lordship salvation? someone who follows Jesus Christ, someone who is saved by Jesus Christ, he should not act as unbeliever. He should not act as a wicked man. He will confess his sins. He will obey Lord Jesus Christ. He will try to be biblical, following Jesus Christ. So don't say that this is only for pastors. You need to understand even you are a servant of Jesus Christ. The third essential mark of a model pastor. The two essential marks I have taught you. First essential mark is he must be member of the local church. Second essential mark, he must be a slave of Christ. The third essential mark of a model pastor, which is very important as well as other two, is he must intercede for the church. He must intercede for the church. Look at verse 12 and 13, which says, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers. Verse 13 says, he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Can you see that? He is a man of prayer. Many times I was listening to some preacher that he was explaining how the men of God in history depended on Jesus Christ. They have done wonderful ministry. They have done effective ministry because those men are men of prayers. They always depend on God. You remember, I remember that Spurgeon always used to say that before he preached, I trust in Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Spirit. I know I am scholar. Even though he is scholar, even though he is prince of preachers, but he depended on Jesus Christ. He depended on Jesus Christ. It should be the essential mark of a model pastor. We can see he sends his greetings to the church. The greeting in Greek is to salute one, welcoming, wish well to others, pay one's interest to others. The greeting is made by a slight motion and few words. Sometimes angel came and said to Mary, favored one. So there is a motion, there is a words in greetings. For example, hug and holy kiss, shaking hands. Can you see that these are the greetings, shaking hands, bowing. In India culture, people bow like namaste. It is like some kind of respect to others. It's like greetings. And putting hand on the heart. Some people, Malaysian people, they put their hand like this and bend like this. It's like greeting men, wishing well for others, giving respect to others. And some people, it is called like air kiss on the cheek. It's like, no, that is our practice. No, I can see in our church, some people come and hug like this. It is called air kiss on cheeks. You know that? You know that, but you are practicing it. So there are different kinds of greetings we can see in the world. But those days, there is a greeting. Giving hug, giving holy kiss. These are practices, but don't practice in holy kiss in village culture, right? But you can practice here because we are educated. We are, I don't know what to say, and well cultured. We can understand. But every area is different. But no, we should greet others. That's what I want to say to you. We should greet others. We should wish well to others. Especially in those culture, people greet others through letters. Did you receive any time letters from your grandma, anybody else? They greet you, right? They wish well for you. That's what Epaphras is saying. He is not saying that, okay, I went there, I met Paul, I don't care church. I forgot church. No. When Paul was writing, he is giving his own greetings. I love you. I pay respect to you. I have concern for you. Even though I am very far, but I love you. I love you. He is sending his own greeting. But better than that, he is interceding for the church. That's what Paul is saying. Three things about a pastor's prayer that we need to know. Or you can say three aspects of Epaphras' prayer, we can see. The first thing about pastor's prayer is the way of praying. The way of praying. You can see that the way of praying, verse 12, it says, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers. Can you see those words? Verse 12, laboring earnestly for you. There is a way to pray. A pastor should pray, he should not pray casually. He should pray intentionally. He should pray effectively. You can read, the way of praying is effectively. The pastor, a model pastor, prays effectively, not casually. Because the word written here is very interesting. When I was studying this word, very interesting. The laboring earnestly means being engaged in a contest. Can you understand? Being engaged in a context. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 25 says, everyone who competes in the games, competes. It refers to striving. It refers to wrestling, striving in prayer. That is what Paul is saying here. Here Epaphras, a model pastor, he is striving in his prayers. He is wrestling in his prayers. Who wrestled with God in prayer? Anybody? Jacob, right? He is an anti-Jacob. He is an anti-Jacob. He is wrestling with God. He is not praying generally. A pastor, a model pastor, everyone, he is a Jacob. Praying with God. Wrestling with God, spending time with God, praying for the church. It is not like I am not praying for myself, my family, my own things. I am praying for the church. I am wrestling. I am fighting. It's like great word. It is used here. I can read Genesis chapter 32. You can turn with me, Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 to 28. Says, then Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him until a daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, and so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I can say like this, Epaphras, a model pastor, he is wrestling with the Lord. I am not saying he is fighting with the Lord. He is praying like this. I can guess like this, Lord, bless my church. Lord, bless my church. Lord, my church people running away from God, they are not trusting in Jesus Christ, who is Lord of glory. They are running away. Please speak with them. There are false teachers among us. They are teaching heresies. Lord, please drive away them. Please help them to understand the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Lord, help. Please bless our church. That's what Epaphras is doing. The same word used here. Laboring. It's like wrestling with the Lord. Praying, depending on God. That's what a model pastor does. While I was studying, I was convinced, Lord, I am not doing like this. Sorry. Lord, I am not doing for my congregation. How a model pastor does, he is praying, he is begging, he is depending on God. Lord, not bless me, bless my congregation. Help them to know Jesus Christ very deeply. Help them to love Jesus very deeply. He is begging, he is begging. Look at another word, always. It is not like sometime when he is free, when he has holidays. It is not like that. We pastors, sometimes we take holidays, but sometimes it is necessary. But what happened, it is very intentional, right? A model pastor, he is always laboring earnestly for the church. Continually he is praying. Epaphras is not saying, Paul is testifying that. Somebody is saying about this man. That's why I said he is a model pastor. Model pastor. The best example to pray effectively is what? Who? Jesus. We cannot exalt this man without exalting Jesus Christ as a man. He prayed a lot. He prayed effectively. Luke chapter 6 verse 12 says, Luke chapter 6 verse 12 says, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. He spent the whole night in prayer to God. The same thing the Lord Jesus has done after the great shepherd, the chief shepherd under him who are working for the church, they are praying. Among them was Epaphras. Martin Lloyd-Jones' wife, that sister told about his husband like this. I was listening. One man of God said about Martin Lloyd-Jones' wife. She said like this, "You can't understand my husband as an expositor and evangelist unless you understand my husband. Above all things, he is a man of prayer." So many people exalt, even I love him, even so many pastors, biblical pastors love him, but wife of that godly man said like this, "My husband is a man of prayer." These things, when these things lacks in our life, especially those who are going to plant church, if you are not praying, you are not going to be useful. The useful man in the hand of God, a man who prays, depending on God. It's not like always kneeling down and praying wherever you are, whenever you're studying. Just you pray to God and ask God when you are driving your car, when you are driving your scooter, just pray to God, "Lord, help our congregation." It is not saying that don't do any work and go lock your room and praying always. It is not like that. You do your work and you are praying for your congregation. That's what man of God does. That's what a model pastor does. Those who are going to be graduated, I am going to ask you as a brother, how often you pray? How effectively you are praying? If you think you know Greek and Hebrew, if you think I know many things, those things are important, I respect, but what happens if you are not praying? No, God does not use those things for the edification of your church members. Praying is very important, brothers. J.C. Ryle said, if you want to find out how much someone loves you, find out how much they pray for you. This is the best example. Don't feel somebody is not giving hug, somebody is not saying hi, but ask that person. Somebody may say that, "I love you, I love you." Ask that person how much time you are praying for me. That shows. A model pastor loves the church because he prays for the church. That's what God is teaching to us. The second thing about pastor's prayer that we need to know is the goal of praying. The goal of praying. Verse 12. "That you may stand perfect and fully assured in the all the will of God." Then you can say that fully they may become mature. That is the idea. For what you should pray, a man of God. A model pastor, why he prays? For what goal he prays? He prays to the Lord. He depends on the Lord so that they may become mature. They may stand perfect. The idea is being fully developed in moral sense. Fully developed in moral sense. We know that every pastor should recognize, every one of us, brothers and sisters, should recognize we are not perfect. Everyone has their own problems. Everyone has their own sins. When you see somebody's sin, you should pray for that person. Especially this is a job of every person in the church. It is a primary job of a pastor, praying for the church so that they can become like Jesus Christ. That's why Paul is preaching to Colossians, right? Colossians chapter 1 verse 28. You can see that why Paul was preaching. Why Paul is preaching? Colossians chapter 1 verse 28 says, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." Can you see that? Why Paul is preaching? So that every man should stand perfect in Jesus Christ. To become, being, developing their moral sense. Becoming like Jesus Christ. Why Epaphras is praying here? so that they may become mature, become like Jesus Christ in their thinking, in their actions, in their speaking, everything, and changing their life and confessing their sins. For how it happens when pastor prays. If any church is not growing, if any church is standing there only, maybe pastors of that church are not praying effectively how Epaphras, Paul was praying. But God does miracles. That is, God will help congregation to become like him, especially his son Jesus Christ. I look at the phrase, this is a passive participle. The idea is, pastor is not doing here. Again, we need to understand, you brothers, when you go back, you don't make people to become like Jesus Christ. The idea is, God is doing work. Epaphras is praying, Lord, I cannot do anything in this situation. I am out of syllabus now. I can't do anything now. But please, you do something. You do something. You can make our people a mature people. That's what the scripture is saying to us. The grammar is saying to us that God is going to do that. The second purpose of praying is they may become mature. The second purpose of praying is they may be developed in discernment. They may be developed in discernment, which says fully assured in all the will of God. Fully filled in all the will of God. They should have discernment, which is right, which is not right, which doctrine is good, which doctrine is bad. Lord, our people, they know you, but they are struggling, which is good. They don't have discernment. Please help them. Please help them so that they may be developed in discernment. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. Almost the same prayer that Paul preached. You can see that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all the spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Can you see same phrasing? For what Paul is praying for the church, Epaphras is praying for the church. That's why they are co-workers. That's why they are co-workers. They both have same goal. Same goal. Lord, our church member should know the discernment, which is good, which is bad. Then they will become perfect in Jesus Christ. Then they will stand for Jesus Christ. So this is the goal. Time is going up. Just the third thing, that pastor's prayer, that we need to know the reason for praying. There is a reason why he is praying. There is a goal. There is a reason. There is a cause. You can say that. Verse 13. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. That attitude with which he prays, he has one attitude. He has one reason. Paul is saying why Epaphras is praying like this. He is giving answer. The answer is he has a deep concern. He has a deep concern. Why I am saying four refers to additional information that is described already. So he is connecting verse 13 to verse 12. That means again, the deep concern is connected to the prayer. Four, he is describing more. Then you can see that the Paul testifies. This is a true that. Paul is not saying that. If Paul says, I testify, that is true. That is true. And also you can see the basic or ground of action. Why this man is praying. Why this Paul is testifying about this man. Because deep concern he has. The Greek idea is pain. You can say affliction. Revelation chapter 16 verse 10 and 11 it says, to understand that word meaning, how much pain he has, just I want to read Revelation 16, 10. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. His kingdom became darkened. They bit their tongues because of pain. So what kind of pain it is? Because of the wrath of God, they were not able to bear the pain and judgment of God. They were biting their tongues and they're experiencing the pain. But same Greek word used here again. Again, I was praying, Lord, I am not like this. I am not like this. Pastors are not like this. He has pain. How much pain? When God pours out his wrath, judging people very violently, very dangerously, that time people are experiencing pain. That kind of pain he has inside. Lord, my church is running away from you. False teachers are attacking the church. I cannot bear it. I have struggle, I have suffering, I have pain in my heart. How much pain? How you? It's like, no, receiving judgment from God. Receiving judgment from God. That time there is a pain, right? Same pain he has for the church. Because he has same pain, he is praying. He is wrestling with the Lord. When people are running away from Christ, when people are attracted to false teaching, he is a model pastor, right? Everyone can say that, amen, he is a model pastor, but God has given us example so that me and our church elders and other elders in India, pastors, they should become like this. They should have genuine concern, the pain for the church. Even Paul says, Paul is an example for this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he says, "For I want you to know how great struggle," even though it is a different word, but he has struggle for the church. But now I can say that Paul has struggle for the church. He has very deep concern for the church. I won't doubt for that. But I can say very dearly, maybe if I am wrong, God may forgive me, Epaphras has more greater pain than Paul. Because struggle, that Greek word is different, but pain, deep concern is different. If I understand, a local pastor has deep pain for the church when they are running away from Christ. That's why I said the model pastor must be connected to the local church. He knows, he experienced their love, he served them, he is preaching for them, he is praying for them when those people are running away from Christ. As a local church pastor, Epaphras, he got that pain. Who is telling that? Epaphras is not saying that. Paul is saying that. I testify. Don't think that he is saying, I can see that. I can see that. That's why he is model pastor. For what he has pain? For whom he has pain? For the local church. He says, for you. For you. The idea is, on behalf of you. For the sake of you. For the sake of you, he has pain. He has suffering. He is telling that. It shows, it helps the church. Why my pastor is struggling a lot? Because we are running away from the Lord. We are running through the visions and the angels. We should not run away from that. Even in this case, the Lord is Lord. The Lord is speaking to them through his servant, through his life. Not only for the local church, for the connected churches which were planted by Epaphras. But we need to understand, he is pastor of one local church. He is committed to that church. But he has that affection to surrounding churches. It's not like every church. But there are two churches, two cities churches he has concern for. He is praying for them as well. Because he shared the gospel. He planted the church there. I don't know, somebody is pastoring those churches. Exactly, I don't know. But there is a biblical pattern. Somebody is pastoring those churches. But he has concern for them. Why I am saying that? He said, for you, one of you number. He is connected to Colossian church, but he has pain for other church. He is praying for them. Pastors, are not praying for them effectively, purposefully. The members of the church are dry in their spiritual life. Paul Washer said like this, brothers, when Jesus comes back, it is not the liberal politicians who are to be trembled. It's the pastors. Because so many men have built their ministries on the dry dead bones of unconverted church members. Like, no, we can say that sometimes they were converted, but they are not growing well. Because this man of God is not praying for them. those who are not praying to the Lord for the sake of the church, they will tremble. They will tremble when Jesus comes. That's what James says, right? There is a severe judgment for those who are going to preach and teach. Those who become pastors and teachers. If you are not praying for the church, be careful. You are playing with the fire. When he comes, he is going to humiliate you in front of everybody. What kind of ministry you have done? Yeah, you know Greek, you know Hebrew, you know many things, but how much time you spend? How much time you prayed for your congregation? He is going to ask, be careful, be careful. But I am not discouraging you, but Lord will help you. Lord will help you. That's why he put these verses in Colossians. Take these words and think properly. And think about Acts chapter 28 says, be on guard for yourself and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Brothers, you are not becoming pastor by yourself. Somebody, that is the Holy Spirit, God made you a pastor. If God made you a pastor, what is your job? To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus died for his flock. Jesus died for the church. If he died for the church, he loves that church so much, he gave you privilege to shepherd the church under him. If you are not shepherding, if you are not praying, you are sinning. You are sinning. You are going to sin if you are not praying. This passage is so mean to me. It will help me to grow more. It will help you to grow more. Any pastor. I want to close with Spurgeon, who preached sermons, and he wrote an autobiography, commentaries, books on prayers, devotionals, poetry, hymns. Many sermons were recorded as he spoke and translated into many languages during his lifetime. Many Christians hold his writings as a high regard among other devotional writings. All of these things happened because there were prayers behind his ministry. As I said before, whenever he is going to preach, he believes the Holy Spirit. Lord, help my congregation. Lord, help my congregation. Change my people's congregation. Use your word, change people's life. He used to pray that. What happened after his death? He slept in Jesus Christ. 4 memorial services happened after his death. 4 memorial services. Sometimes there is no one memorial service for pastors because they are not faithful. But 4 memorial services held. The first service at the 11 o'clock morning was for those who are church congregation, those who are near to him. The second at 3 p.m. in the evening was for the ministers and students. The third at 7 p.m. was for general Christians. Other believers can join. The final service at 11 p.m. was for orphans. 4 memorial services happened. Police control the crowds, waiting to get in, because people are running to see his body. But they were controlling crowds. On the day of funeral, 800 extra policemen were on the duty. 800 extra policemen. 65 fair horses were provided. You can present that. You can see that, Sarah. You can see that. 65 fair horses provided for his funeral. Then there were from 200 to 300 private carriages and other vehicles joining in march. Trains were put on the cater the crowd. Trains were put. Like, no, in India, sometimes they put new trains, right? To cater crowds. Like that happened in his funeral. Vehicles joining march. And along extra omnibuses and cabs. The business along the funeral road were closed. There is no business on that road. Because a great man of God, a man of prayer, is going. He went to the Lord. The funeral is happening. Then you will be shocked. What happened in that funeral? A funeral, estimated total of 1 lakh people either passed by Spurgeon, attended the funeral service. 1 lakh. It says, I don't know exactly, 1 lakh people how we went, right? When we see dead body, you know, like the man, any man is dying, we go and see face, right? Almost 1 lakh people went and see or attended that funerals. But interesting thing is, an unknown number lined in the streets. Can you see those picture? That is his funeral picture. He is a man of prayer. He depended on God. He is a slave of Christ. He preached the Christ. He obeyed Christ. And he connected to the local church. He was preaching in local church. So many miracles happened during while he was preaching. We know that somebody is repairing the church building. He was preaching like this. Behold the Lamb of God. There is no mic system those days. He was practicing before sermon. Somebody is repairing. He was saved. That was the thing. The God used him very greatly because, not because he is a strong man, not because he has strength. He has strength of Christ. He depended on Jesus Christ. God may help us, all pastors. You may pray for us, please. Don't think that we are so strong. We need your prayers. I hope you are praying for us. Please pray for our godly life. Please pray for our prayers so that we can be useful in the hand of mighty God as others were used by God. God may help us. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for your great word. Lord, we are sinners. We deserve hell. But you showed mercy upon us. You saved us from our sins. Not only that, Lord, you gave privilege of serving your congregation. Lord, help us, Lord. Raise a model godly pastors in India. Especially help us, Lord. Help this church to grow more and more as we are preaching, as we are serving this congregation. And also I pray for brothers, those who are going to be part of the church, planting the church. Help them, Lord, to understand what is ministry is, how a pastor looks like. Be with us, Lord. Build our church for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray.